For the Hobby family. What's up, guys and girls? And international listeners. It's pretty cool to see Hong Kong and Australia on there. Shout out to them. Today, I know, quick turnaround from Sunday, but today's guest, we have Tony D'Amico, or D-A-M-I-C-O. I'll have to see exactly how he pronounces it, but he also is a Tojo Sports Cards 36 on Instagram. I know those of you who follow Ryan or are active in Card Collector 2's breaks, you would see him in the chat a lot or buying in. I actually got the pleasure of meeting him in Chicago at the National. Great dude, kind of low key. He has quite a, over 2,000 followers, so a lot of you know who he is, a lot of you don't. I know he's not real loud out there in the community, but I felt that he's the type of guy slash person that the hobby needs to hear. Great dude, and I want to hear how he got into the hobby, and we're going to dive into that and talk about some of today's news. So thanks again for listening. I appreciate all the feedback you guys are giving. There's a new podcast coming out. Ryan Card Collector 2 just dropped today, so I'm going to be interested in listening to that. Hope you guys are too. So here we go, episode 6. Thank you guys for tuning in, and hope you enjoy. Tony, what's up, my man?
Yeah, what's up, Bernie? How you doing, buddy?
I'm pretty good now that we got our technical difficulties figured out, I think.
We got a nice sound check. We're ready to go.
Nice sound check. How do you pronounce your last name?
D'Amico.
D'Amico, okay. I think yep. I said it right on the intro, but I'm not sure. Tony D'Amico from Pennsylvania. All right. I kind of gave you an info and your Tojo Sports Cards 36. I guess we could start out with, what's the 36 for?
Yeah, so first of all, I got to say congrats to you and Dom for this podcast. It's really awesome. I enjoy listening to it and really happy with the first few episodes.
Awesome. Thanks. It's good to hear, man.
Yeah, I was a little bit worried, to be honest with you, when I heard the first one and you had the music going in the background. And I was like, whoa, Burn, what are you trying to do here?
It's yeah. You know what? I heard other podcasts. There was like this podcast called Serial about murders and stuff.
Yeah.
And they had this like faint music playing in the background. And I thought it just gave it so much more suspense. Like you never knew when it was going to end. And that's kind of what it did. But the feedback was like, oh, it's too loud. So we just got rid of it in general.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But it was cool. Great.
Good to hear.
Yeah. So the meeting of the 36. So I played baseball through high school and college. And, you know, since I was 8 years old, I played baseball. And when I went to high school, I was that was one of the numbers that was available when I was a freshman. And so that became my number. And I just carried it through high school into college. And, you know, when you're in college, that's kind of like the big deal is your
right.
number. And that's where the 36 comes from. There's no other special meaning
okay.
behind it.
No Jerome Bettis or anything.
Nah, nothing like that.
That's crazy because you nothing just like usually that. Don't see – like it's usually – like I was number 7 in baseball and it had nothing to do with anybody else. But I think it figures to be everyone's number was 7. So, but when you see like a 36, yeah. I was like, oh, maybe Jerome Bettis. I'm not sure you're in the Pennsylvania area. So,
Come on, man. That's an insult. I'm an Eagles hey. Fan. I live in Philly area.
Yeah, well, hey, now we know or now people know.
Now people know.
I kind of introduced you as like if you hang around Card Collectors too, like breaks or stuff, you'd see, you know, Tojo pop in and get into conversations. So let's rewind and go way before Ryan. And how did you get into sports cards or what age did you start? Which sport? Who was your favorite player? Stuff like that.
Yeah, so I kind of grew up like a huge hockey fan. My dad had season tickets to the Flyers and I was always he would take me to games and I loved the Flyers a lot and obviously playing baseball. So it kind of got started when I was playing Little League. We had a really awesome Little League coach and he kind of brought the team together and we did stuff like outside of just baseball. We would play street hockey here in our parking lot at the Mushroom Farm and, We would play flag football, tackle football, all kinds of different stuff. One day we were over at his house, and a bunch of guys are there, and he pulls out these boxes of cards. And I really wasn't into sports cards at the time. And he's like, yeah, guys, go through them, and if you like some cards, pick them out. And you can have
Nice.
some, So everybody was like kind of fingering through them, going through them, and me being a hockey fan, I was like, wow, here's a Wayne Gretzky, here's Bobby Hall, here's like all the
Gordie
famous people that
Howe,
I
yeah.
knew at the, yeah. And I was like, I was grabbing those cards. Other guys were grabbing baseball cards and different, stuff. So long story short, one of the cards that I pulled out of that box of cards was a Wayne Gretzky rookie
No
card.
way. The
Yeah, and I
OPG?
didn't realize.
Wow.
No, it's a
Okay, it was
top.
the
It's a
tops. Okay,
tops. It's a
still a rookie card.
yeah. But I remember, like at the time when after I realized, I got home and I'm like kind of. And back then there was no internet, so you didn't look it up on the internet to find out what you had. You just kind of. Somebody told me, they were like, that's a Wayne Gretzky rookie. I'm like, get out of here. So I put it in, of course, back in the day, I put it in a screw down, big, thick glass holder. And I kept it. Like, I started, that was like how I got started into cards. Like,
Wow.
I just started,
I mean, what a
yeah.
pick. Like, I mean, you knew the name, but how? So this was probably what, 79 or 80 or 81? Because I think his rookie card was 79, right? Maybe.
Yeah, don't make me too old, bro. I'm not that old.
Right. Well, you were a young kid.
It was in the 80s. It was in the 80s, and I was young, and so anyway, it was probably like 88,
Oh,
89,
wow.
something
Do you
like
still
that.
have the card?
Yeah. So yeah,
Oh.
so I so I'll it's kind of get into the story about it. So then I got then so then now I'm into cards. Like I this guy got me introduced into cards, and I started collecting baseball cards, and I would, ask my dad, "Hey, can we go to the shop?" And back then you didn't go to like a card shop, you went to like a flea market or an antique mall
Right.
where they had a little
Yep.
card stand in there. And I started getting like every year top sets, so from like 84 all the way into the 90s I had every set. And and so I had all the different sets, and I would save them in my room and keep everything nice and neat and
Nice.
organized. And so the funny thing is, this is kind of get back to the Gretzky here in a minute, but I remember sitting one day in the kitchen with my parents and one of their friends, and we were just talking. My mom and dad and these folks were talking about baseball, and the guy was from Upper Darby, and he was talking about this guy named Mike Socia,
Oh.
who was his buddy who went on to play for the LA
Right.
Dodgers. And I remember being a little kid, like, oh my God, this guy? Like, how do you ha So all of a sudden, like, I didn't even know the terminology back then, but Mike Socia became my PC,
Right.
right? So I collected just because this guy that my mom and dad
Exactly.
knew this guy, he's my guy
Yeah,
now.
for
Like,
sure. That's how it happens usually.
I started writing number 14 on everything. I was a Dodgers fan, and I loved Mike
Awesome.
Socia, and I collected every single one of his cards. Every chance I get, I would, beg my dad, "Dad, there's a Mike Socia card. Let me get it."
Nice.
So you'll love this. You'll love this, dude. So I was like, these cards are going to be so valuable someday. Like, I need to save them, and I need to protect them,
Right.
right? So this is so crazy. So one night, like, I get this crazy idea that I'm gonna laminate
Oh.
all of my Mike Socia cards.
Oh. In one of those QVC
So,
laminators your mom got.
yeah, exactly. So here I'm 12, 13 years old. I didn't know any
Right.
better. I laminated every single one of the damn cards, and I still have them. They're still all
That is fucking
laminated.
awesome though that you still have them. And aren't you glad your PC was Mike Socia and not like Mickey Mantle or something?
Oh. Yeah, can you imagine? It was all Jordan rookies that were laminated or something.
Oh.
But yeah, so Mike Socia was my guy. I laminated every single one of the cards to protect them and save them forever and make sure they hold their
Oh
value.
man, that's funny you bring up a lamination machine because I'm not sure, like all of us younger guys who grew up in the 80s and early 90s went through a lamination stage, but I did. I remember my mom or grandma had a little lamination deal and I laminated everything. I don't know if I did any sports cards, but it was like the cool thing to do, so I could totally see. So you took a lamination and you just
you had to cut them out, right? You cut the corners out and stuff.
Oh, I cut them. Yeah, there's a little extra, you know, a little excess around every card, so they're.
Oh
nice and
man,
tight.
we're gonna have to. You're gonna have to send me a picture so we can post that on the For the Hobby page.
I will. So that was and I saved them, and then you know you grow up and you kind of get out of it and go to high school and you lose track of cards, and I just like probably most kids or most people my age, that's what happened.
Right.
And so my mom stuck them in Rubbermaid bins and they went in the
right.
attic, you know, and that's where my whole collection went. All the sets, all the, you know, the Eric Lindros
Ooh,
rookie
yeah.
cards and the Gretzky rookie and everything went back into the attic. And they sat there for many, many years. And it's kind of a funny story. A childhood buddy of mine, we grew up together. Lost touch. Everybody goes on with their
right.
life, and he moved out and he went to New York and worked at a big accounting firm. And somehow we got back in. Actually, it was funny because he called me, and we were talking, and ended up long story. But he works at Tojo now,
oh.
and it, you know, he's one of my best friends, and we're so fortunate that we get to work together. But one day we were talking, like working through the whole thing, and he says, "Hey, do you still have that Gretzky rookie?" And I was like, "As a matter of fact, I do somewhere. You know, I'm sure it's in Mom's
right.
attic." So that kind of spurred me up about, I don't know, about 5 years ago, to go into the attic, pull all the Rubbermaids out, like, because now he's got me like kind of charged up,
right?
This, right? I want to look at all my
exactly.
old stuff. So pulled everything out, went through everything. Threw a lot of stuff away because obviously the junk wax era, a lot of stuff that wasn't good. I just, you know, I had to clean
right.
it up. And, but I found the Gretzky rookie. I took it out of the big, huge glass
yeah, the
screw
loose
down, sent it to PSA. It got a PSA 4.
Oh!
But it's a card I'll never get rid of.
Oh,
you know?
No.
It's one of those things.
Yeah,
that,
for sure.
Yeah. So that was a cool.
So that kind of like, it's funny you bring up that story because every time I hear someone tell a story, it always sparks, you know, stories in my mind. And I remember getting back into hobbies after high school because I think when you go through high school and you start, you know, seeing girls and start getting interested in the girls, your cards get kind of put away and then you fall back on them later in life. And then you see what's going on nowadays and you kind of get excited like, oh, man, I collected. Back then, I probably have all these amazing cards at my grandma's house. So I'd run over there and open them up and check them. And, you know, they're junk era. But it's funny that little rush of excitement you get like, man, I saved all this stuff and I'm going to go, you know, get it. And my grandma, whenever I'd go, I'm like, hey, grandma, I'm going to go in the treasure chest. I had this weird chest that I kept all my cards in. And she would always be like, okay, but if you go in there, you got to take home your Pogs or your G.I. Joes or your – because she saved it all, and she just had them in big
oh,
bags,
man.
And she said, I'm not going to store them forever, you know? And originally she saved them because she said, I mean, the truth is she was just a pack rat like myself, I guess, but she would always say, well, you're going to need them for your kids, you know? Your kids are going to want to play with your toys, and that was the excuse, but I know she just never wanted to throw them away. But it was funny, every time I went back to get cards or something, she would try to make me take like a bag of He-Man or a bag of G.I. Joes. And then I just started taking them and I put them on eBay and, you know, sell them for a lot of money. But I still have most of my cards as a kid and they're pretty much junk by now. But your Gretzky story reminds me of like a Denny's hologram card that I got from Denny's with my grandma and grandpa that I put in a Lucite holder and I still have it on my shelf. You know, one of my all time favorite cards. It's not worth, you know, it's not a Gretzky rookie card, but I would still never sell it no matter, you know, what I was offered for it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And it just seems like us, like if you're in the hobby now as an adult and you weren't as a kid, there's just so many good memories of how you got into it. And that's what I like to, when I bring someone on, I like to dive into like, hey, how'd you get in? I never heard a story of like, oh yeah, I got in when I was 35. This is my first card. You know, it always
right.
seems to go. Even the big investor guys like Gary Vee and all his following, they seem to be guys that actually collected cards and sold cards as a kid too, and now they're just getting back into it. But there's always fun stories to tell about it. You mentioned
– Yeah, that's
– Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you if you had Beanie Babies.
Oh, dude, yeah. There was one named There is a Beanie Baby named Bernie, bro. So
I probably have that, but I still have
it's a Saint too. Bernard. I don't have them anymore, but it runs in my family. My grandpa has a building room, and he's still around, and he has a building room full of model airplanes that he built. But when I was a kid, we'd go to McDonald's all the time so he could get the toys, man. And he has bags and bags and bags full of McDonald's toys. So I wonder what those are worth nowadays.
That's awesome.
But it got like inbred into me that I had to become a collector of some sort. So, and it's funny I say that because on a couple episodes ago, I was talking and I said, if you collect cards, you probably have a collection of something else that people don't know about. And that's funny. You still have the Beanie Babies. And I remember those were another thing that were like, oh, Beanie Babies are going to be worth so much money. Hold on to them. They made cases for them and all this. And then for a while there, after maybe 5 or 10 years in, they weren't worth shit, but at least the common ones weren't. You mentioned Tojo. You know, someone's working with you at Tojo. I'm not sure everyone knows what Tojo is. Do you want to kind of go, you know, what the name is and what Tojo Mushrooms is? Because they're going to see some mushrooms on my podcast cover, and some guys are going to be like, oh, man, they're into hallucinogens and stuff. But can you give them a little description of what Tojo means? And
Yeah, sure. So Tojo is our family's mushroom farm. Mushroom company. My brother and I are the fourth generation of our family to grow mushrooms in Chester County. The mushrooms they eat on pizza and burgers and those kind of mushrooms burn. And anyway, so Tojo stands, my art father named the company in 1980 after myself and my brother. My brother's name is Joe. I'm Tony. So that's where Tojo comes from. It's not anything. It's a pretty simple name, but it most people don't get
right.
that. And I'm fortunate enough that every day I go to work and I get to work with my brother every day to
this
day.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, that's what the Tojo Mushroom Sports Card is, guys. So, Tony and Joe.
Yeah, it's funny is I put the mushroom – I probably need to get you to make me a logo one day because I just put that logo and this is kind of funny. I was in a break one night on Instagram and I had like just a picture of myself on my thing and it said Tojo Sports Cards. And some dude made a comment on, you know, it was like either Ryan's Breaks or somewhere. And some dude makes his comments like, Tojo looks like a pedophile school teacher. I was like, so I took my picture down like immediately and I just put the Tojo Mushroom logo on it. Oh, the guy scarred me for life. I was like, man. I look that
whoever bit? You are, you better come clean and say it with you because you changed this man's life.
Yeah, I was like, that's it. My picture.
That sucks because so that sounds like something I would say as like a joke. And if you didn't know.
I cracked up laughing. Like, it was funny. And I was like, all right, I got to get my picture off of there.
Yeah, this dude's just watching a bunch of kids open cards. But that's the kind of weight we pull around as being older guys in the card community. Sometimes there's like embarrassing moments like that. And now it's almost like there's so much money in the hobby. You're like, haha, look at you. That reminds me of when we were at the National and we were sitting there and there was these ladies across the way and they were kind of snickering or laughing at us, you know, for why? And I think one of them even came up to us and asked us like, hey, you guys are into cards, you know, something like that. And how much are these worth? And then someone started dropping numbers and her face got all crazy and she went back to her dwelling area. But I know still to this day, people are surprised at how much money is in the actual hobby.
Oh, it's crazy.
Even though we want to keep it as much of a secret as we can.
Yeah, that's like when I first got on Instagram and I started like, I got on Instagram. I was kind of like anti-social media person. I just kind of kept to myself and I got on Instagram just to kind of see what was going on. And then I got into cards and I was like, let me see if there's any card, you know, accounts on Instagram. So I started just looking up sports cards and I came across Luff Brothers Trading. And that was one of the first accounts that I started following. And I had no idea what I was doing, Bern. I mean, I'm just getting back into this as a 38-year-old, you know, business person, have no idea with all, you know, all the lingo and the rap and all this stuff. And I was like, what the hell is going on? And so I started like buying it, just ran. I didn't even have a PayPal. I had to like sign up for PayPal just so I could start getting into breaks and stuff. So I started buying like boxes and having these guys open them up for me. And then all of a sudden I'm getting like DMs, and I'm like, what the hell's a DM? I didn't even know what a DM was.
Check your DMs. People asked me that.
And this, would you do this? So one day I sent a DM to Peyton, the Luft, and I said, I was like, dude, why am I getting all these like DMs or, you know, messages from people asking me to join their breaks? And his response was classic. His response was classic. He goes, well, it's probably because you're adult and you buy multiple spots into breaks, and people don't, there's not very many adults on here doing that. And I was like, okay. I was like, do me a favor then, change my name, like put down something different.
Oh yeah, they're like, hey, this guy spends money, let's get him.
Yeah, I could tell you for a while, I had an alias in Ryan's breaks for a while. That I won't mention the name, but I used to tell him, like, dude, put this under my fake name, because
I know exactly what you're talking about, and I had a couple people like that too when I was doing beast breaks. It's because they're considered sharks or whales. We call them whales because they come in and they close a break, or they take the giant teams. And man, those guys, you want to hit for them so bad, and it's so disappointing when you don't hit. Like, they are like carrying so many teams in your break, and you can't hit for them. It's so like distraught, and you're like, okay, well now I lost him forever. And then that next break shows up, and he's there in your store buying all the big teams again, and it sucks because if when they use their name or whatever, other people go like, oh man, this guy has money, why don't he buy him? So then they get this kind of pressure. You're like, dude, quit counting other people's money, you know? This is why they like to go buy Ellis. Speaking of jumping in your DMs, like, I see a lot of people like get angry when someone DMs them and says, like, hey, join, are you interested? It depends how you say it. Like, hey, I saw you're into breaking, you want to join my breaks, or I got this break going. Now, me, I don't have a big problem with that. Like, it reminds me of sending out flyers in the mail, you know. Of course, you don't go to this car wash, or you go to a different car wash, but another car wash sent you a thing in the mail that says, hey, come to our car wash. It's kind of like marketing in this new digital age where you're sending out DMs. Now, I get the ones that say, hey, join my break or join my Raz, but I don't get as angry as some of these people get, like, hey, you know, I got this break going on. Cause all I see it as is marketing, you know, and that's how they're building, you know, a name for themselves. And yours is a little bit different, where they saw you in a room and they tried to poach you, which I understand is completely different. But I mean, how do you feel when you get like a message like that? Or
no, I'm not like that at all. And if anybody that knows me, they know I'm not like that at all. I don't respond and say like, leave me alone or anything. Like, I'm totally cool with people asking. And my biggest problem is I'm not a good trader or seller of anything. And Ryan will tell you this. Like, I asked Ryan, I'm like, hey, do you think I should make a trade? He's like, dude, you shouldn't trade anything to anybody because they will end up with your whole collection and you'll end up with one card. So if I was, man. Yeah. If I have something and I'm like, hey, I would sell this card and I would sell for $100 and somebody's like, well, would you take 50? I'd be like, dude, send me your address. I'll just send it to you. Like, I'm not going to, you know, like, and I'm not good at it. So I try not to sell. I try not to sell anything or trade anything, because I always, you know, I made so many awesome friends through cards and through Instagram. It's really crazy, some of the stories. I want to tell you one story, though, that kind of really got me back into this, that I think is pretty cool.
Okay, so, I want you to tell me. Just so you know, it's $5 per story you tell. So
that's all?
We're at $15 right now. So,
all right. I think you're going to like this one. This one's pretty cool. All right. So once I got, you know, once Chris and I started like kind of getting back into cards a little bit, Chris, who's my CFO.
Okay, good. I was going to say, you're throwing some random name at. We don't know who you're talking about.
Sorry.
He's CFO, childhood friend, right?
Yeah, he's the one that got me back into cards. So we started talking all the time about cards. We were talking about cards. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to get back into it. Well, there's not really a lot of card shops around here. So I started going to the farmer's market. It's this local farmer's market. And there's like people that set up outside and they sell all kinds of random stuff. And usually there was card people there. So I go every weekend and I would check and buy a bunch of junk and throw half of it away, maybe find one card that was decent. One day I'm walking through and this little old lady has a shop inside the farmer's market and she has some cards in there. So I'm like going through talking to her and I'm like, hey, you know this. And she says, hey, I have these packs of cards that have a Michael Jordan in it. I don't know if you'd be interested. And I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. I was like, I'll try one. At that time, I was like, I'll try one. So right. She's like, well, they used to come in 1985. They came with Nike shoes. If you bought a pair of shoes, you got one of these packs.
Right.
I was like, okay. So I bought one. She's like, it's $30. I was like, okay, I'll try one. So I take it. I go out to my car and I get on eBay right away. And I'm like, you know, oh man, this is like the 1985 Michael Jordan promo card.
Right. And it's like the first card.
Yeah. And I didn't know what it was. So, and she had like a whole stack of them. So I looked it up and I saw that the packs were selling for more than $100 at the time. This is years ago. So I ran back in and I told her, I never forget. I told the lady, I said, hey, I just called my brother and he's interested in a couple of those packs too. So how many of those packs do you have? Right. And she's like, well, I have four of them. I was like, I'll take all four of them. So now I get four packs plus the one I had. So I have five. I come up, I start talking to Chris. I'm like, dude, I found these cards. I don't know what it is. And started kind of doing some research on it. And she's like, I can get more. You know, the guy that used to own the sneaker shop, he has a whole box of them. I was like, okay. Oh. So then I found out what it was. And Chris is like, you know, that's a pretty car. That's a car that is, it could be fake. It could be this, could be that. And I'm like a major, like trustworthy person. I'm like, there's no way they're fake. Like they gotta be real. So I went back the following weekend and I said, hey, you know, I got to know this lady, believe me, over many weeks, but, No, like that.
Oh, okay. Believe
me. She's in her 80s and, she was cool to talk to though. Cause she was into cards and, okay. So I go back the next week and I said, hey, you know, did you happen to get any more of those packs, those Nike packs? I'd be interested. And she's like, yeah. She's like, I got eight more. I was like, okay, I'll take all eight. and I take eight. And then I go, you know, I go back and I went back the next. I went, Bernie, I went every weekend for probably like 6 months.
Wow. And stocked up.
I stalked this lady and to the point where she was annoyed with me probably.
And, yes, take them.
No, but so then after like the third or fourth time I went back and bought all that she had, she's like, you know, the guy raised the price on me. Now they're 40. I'm like, okay, I'll take whatever you can get. And then they went to 50 and then they went to, you know,
of course they did.
She kept going up. But anyway, long story short, I ended up with like 50 of these packs.
Okay.
And took the Jordans out of every one of them. Actually, I still have about five packs that are still unopened, but I graded all of them. And I got a bunch of 9.5s. I mean, like a stack of 15 9.5s from BGS.
Wow.
And, dude, I started giving them away like they're candy. Like, if you just anybody that – Yeah, not – I would just send them – like, hey, you know what? I'm going to send you a gift. And I'd send them a 9.5 Jordan promo card. And so anyway, I still have a ton of them left. I probably have 25, 30 of them left. But anyway,
that's
that
funny.
Was like,
I still haven't gotten mine.
Yeah. Yours is on the way after this podcast. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, that was a pretty cool story for me. Like, and that's how I got to know Ryan, because, you know, at the time I think Ryan had like 4,000 or 5,000 Instagram followers. I'm like, wow, this dude is the man. Like, he is.
Right.
And I always liked his brace because he put his face on there and he was friendly. And I'm like, this guy's like the man of Instagram. So I sent him a DM and I'm like, hey, are you interested in like buying any of these? And he responded. And he's like, you seem to know a lot more about them than I do. Why don't you, you know, enlighten me, tell me about this card. And I was like, how about I just send
you? Oh, nice sales tactic.
Yeah. So I was like, here, how about if I just send you one, you can have one. So anyway, that's how Ryan and I got started. And then I would buy into his breaks and we just like, we talked a lot through DMs and then we exchanged numbers. That's like a big deal. It's like moving to second base with somebody.
Oh,
I got his number. He's like, just text me. So I was like, whoa, I'm texting Ryan. So, yeah. But it's funny. The cool thing is I met him for the first time in Cleveland at the National. Chris and I drove to Cleveland, went to the National, and I never met Ryan like face to face. And we ended up staying in the same hotel because I was texting him at the time. And I was like, where do I stay? And he's like, oh, stay here. We're going to be here. There's a bunch of people, blah, blah, blah. So I ended up, you know, meeting him there. And we hung out the entire time and just kind of like hit it off. And long story short, I got home from that National and I got invited to Ryan's wedding. And I was like, wow, this is freaking cool. Like we're, I mean, honestly, now we're like best friends. He's one of my best friends. We talk almost every day about something, you know,
right.
Not necessarily all card related, but
yeah, business. You became like, kind of like a mentor, you know?
Yeah. Like business related.
Friend, you know, yeah.
So that was cool.
Yeah, I always wondered how you got like, I always wondered how that relationship got started or whatever. Not really wondered, but like, oh, I wonder how these guys met type of deal. Did you – so when I went to the National this past year and I met you and Ryan, all them, but I met a lot of guys that I – or should I say boys, I guess, that I never, you know, knew who I was talking to at the time. But didn't you – do you – I got this weird like – man, these are a bunch of kids. Like, do you feel that way? Like, I feel weird. Like, oh man, all these people that you, most of the people you converse with every day, you don't see a face or anything, but they're a ton of kids. And I don't mean like 8 years old. I mean like 15 to 18 year olds or 19 year old, 20 year olds, 21 year old. They're all kids to me. But I was like, oh man, I feel like weird in this, and it was nice to meet you where I'm like, oh cool, or and Dom, guys like our age where you're like, okay cool, you know, someone I could relate to or have a beer with and we could share these, you know, stories of our 80s. But I remember the first time I went in Chicago, I just felt like, I don't know, weird, especially when they came with their parents. I'm like, oh hey, this is Bernie Niner card collector. I talked to him on Instagram. I'm like, oh, you talked to my kid on Instagram, you know, I have a beard and long hair. And they're probably like, oh man, like I remember meeting Shia Steeler. I think he goes by like Steeler Collector 19 or I don't know what exactly, but his name's Shia. You know, I knew him from the bullpen and I knew his uncle. He used to come to trade nights, but then I saw him at the airport as I was flying into Chicago and I met his mom and his dad and all that. And I remember, oh, we heard a lot about you and they're super nice people, but I felt like really awkward, like, man, like you've heard a lot about me and now you're meeting me and I'm this like bearded long haired dude that you know nothing about me. And I got that weird feeling. But I was, when you were telling me that the first time you met Ryan and at the hotel, I could imagine like David was there, Matt Fang was there, you know, all those kind of guys, and they're all younger. And did you feel like kind of, you know, out of place or anything, or did you just jump right in and, hey, I'm Tony, fuck you, you know?
Like, no, I definitely didn't say I'm Tony, fuck you. But I, you know, I obviously knew what Ryan looked like and I knew how old he was by, you know, he's always on Instagram and on Instagram Live. And, but you're right. For that first night when we were at the National and we went up to his room and there's kids all over, kids with their dad, you know, there.
Yeah. And then you walk in and like,
oh. And here I am carrying a six pack of Coors Light in, you know,
and a stripper.
So, but that was, you know, that was kind of, and the funny thing is that night I met you at that hotel lobby. So we were sitting in, when we went to the National, we would get the next year in Chicago, Ryan and I went together and we got a bunch of rooms in the same hotel. And we had this one room that was this huge conference room and everybody would hang out in there and we would rip cases of cards at night. And so we're sitting there and it's late. You know, I don't know what time it was, 11, 12 o'clock at night. And I'm on Instagram looking, and there's this kids that are live. And I mean kids, like younger folks. And so I sent, I sent, and I've had a couple beers by this point. So I send a message on to the live, and it says Lowe's Hotel trade night. And so I send a thing, and Ryan's sitting next to me, and I'm like, dude, we're going to go to this trade night. He's like, no way. We're not going anywhere. He's like, we're staying here. Because you know how he is. He's kind of like a little bit, he doesn't,
Reserved.
he doesn't drink. He doesn't, he's
Yeah.
kind of quiet. He's very professional all the time.
For
So
sure.
I send a message on the live, and I say, we're on our card collector two and I are on our way over to your trade night, right? Well, this kid goes crazy. And I'm
Right.
Hunter. Hunter is the kid. You know who he is.
Yep, hunter
So
gatherer.
yeah, so HG. So I'm like,
Yep.
we're on our way. And the next thing you know, he screams out, Mom, we need another 20 minutes. Card Collector 2 is coming. Right. And I thought Ryan's like rolling on the ground. Like, oh my. I was like, dude, we gotta go. Like, you can't let these guys down. You're gonna like the celebrity walking in. And
Right.
he's like, let's go, asshole. So we like pack up some stuff and we start heading over. It's like 10 minute walk, and we get there, and Ryan walks in. It's like a celebrity walking in,
Yeah,
and
for sure.
he's good with the kid. He's talking to these guys, and then I ended up sitting next to you, and we shot the shit all night, and that's where we met the pilots. I'll let you
Yeah,
tell that
so.
story. You gotta tell that story. That's a great story.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly how it came up, but we were staying at the Lowe's Hotel, and Tony and I were sitting there shooting shit. And I just noticed pilots coming in all night, pilots all day, just walk in, like three or four pilots. And I was like, they're
I
all
think
pi they're all.
I said, dude, we're the flight attendants. Why is it always just pilots?
Right. Yeah, so they're just all pilots. And I was like, you know what? I noticed that too. There's just pilots coming, a bunch of dudes. And then I told Tony, well, I bet the stewardess or flight attendants, whatever they call nowadays, can't stay here because the pilots stay here and they might, start, getting into some adultery on the side, and it might affect business. Because you could only imagine that's a traveling type business. And I know in traveling type businesses, there's got to be some, tomfoolery going on, especially if the company's buying you a hotel. So I don't know who, did you ask them or did I ask
Well,
them?
I think all I had to do was like coax you a little bit and say, Burn, why don't you ask that guy, like, what, how come is this pilot's coming in? And you're like, oh, fuck yeah, I'll do that. I'll ask you right now. So we get go ahead, I'll let you finish it.
I don't know exactly. I remember,
So we
I
get
don't.
out, you got up, and you're like, you this little short guy, little short bald guy pilot. He's like walking to his room. He's got his key right from the front desk. You're like, excuse me, sir, can we ask you a question? And you're like, we notice all the pilots keep coming in here, but there's no flight attendants. Is there like, what's the deal with that? And he's like, oh no, they don't let us stay together.
For sure. And then we knew. And that's what made it funny. Like, we guessed that shit.
And then you were putting it like in your story for the next couple of weeks. You put like little hidden messages about
Yes, I love to
pilots.
do that. Like, if there's like an inside joke between friends, I like to just throw it out there. And this is where Gavin Fucks was born.
Yes, that's right, Gavin Fox.
We were sitting there, same timeline. We were sitting there, and a bunch of dudes came in. I swear, MacGruber came in. This dude had floppy hair in the front and a mullet, and he came in with some card collectors. And I'm like, dude, look, it's MacGruber. And then no one really knew who MacGruber was, I guess, because they didn't watch the movie. And then I was like, dude, that's Gavin Fucks.
Yeah, you're like, that guy has a Gavin Lux jersey on, but that's not him. That's Gavin Fox.
Yeah, and it just stuck. And then we got to use that kind of as. But if you could picture like MacGruber in a Dodgers jersey, that's
Like a,
exactly what this dude looked like.
he had like a mullet, right?
Yeah, nice mullet, nice water flow, flowing down the back, and or they call it a salad, probably where you're from. Like in the, is there a lot of hockey up in your area?
It's pretty big Flyers Penguins rivalry here. I'm a big hockey fan. I didn't play hockey, but I'm a huge hockey fan.
So are you big into like, or do you think Carter Hart's your like next big deal?
Oh, I love Carter Hart, man. I have
Yeah, big time collector.
I don't know, probably 100 Young Guns of Carter Hart.
Nice. I mean,
I went all in.
all in. And it seems like young gun goalies never really do anything either. Like, they'll get hot for a while during the playoffs, but then I couldn't tell you one goalie young guns right now that's worth a lot of money. How's he doing?
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that.
Well, I mean, long-term investment.
No,
I mean, even young guns are hard to take off. Like, even Ovechkin and Crosby, they're not comparable to some of these other huge names. I'm like, man, everyone collects young guns, but they actually don't do great. You know, I have some – I collect hockey. I was probably – hockey was probably my second sport that I learned when – I have tons of pictures when I was a kid. I would have Los Angeles Kings birthday parties and stuff, you know. And young guns have always been a thing in Upper Deck. And I remember in 05, 06 with my cousin chasing Sidney Crosby, young guns never hit one. Don't remember hitting Ovechkin either, but we'd hit like Dion Phaneuf and guys like that. And who's the other guy? Played for the Ducks. Not Corey Perry, but oh, Getzlaf. I think he was around that year. And I'm looking back on those young guns that everyone's chases now. I'm like, man, even really good players, young guns, don't do that much money, you know, compared. But I still, you know, I still grab Upper Deck when I can. And I still put the young guns aside. And I have a nice Austin Matthews. I love to collect American-born hockey players.
Oh, that's
good. So I have ever since I was a kid, I was big into Team USA, man. And I wasn't born for the Miracle on Ice, but it did have an effect on me growing up, like USA, USA. I was real patriotic, so I loved USA-born players. And Brett Hull, even though, you know, he was Canadian, he had the U.S. citizenship, and he played for Team USA and stuff like that. I loved Brett Hull, but
yeah, that's awesome.
I have quite a few young guns, and I wish they kind of, you know, did. There's a nice following in Canada for the hockey cards, but I wish they did better than they actually do.
I think Ryan and I were just talking about this the other day. We think hockey's going to, you know, it still really hasn't hit this huge investor spike, and we think maybe it's going to come. So hopefully that happens.
It might. The reason I don't think it hits is because everyone can't play it all over the world.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So when I was growing up, you know, we played rollerblade hockey, and almost everyone played baseball. Why? Because you can play baseball in your front yard, and you could just take a bat and a ball to. And they always, you know, hockey always gets that, you know, little stereotype of, oh, it's a rich white kid sport type deal. Yeah. So people close their mind off to it right away. But California is really starting to breed some hockey players, and they're coming up, man. Even Team USA is coming up in the hockey world. Like when you start seeing these guys come from the farm team, the USA team, and they're just starting to dominate these drafts where it used to be all, you know, Canadian. I mean, even internationally, like Sweden and Czechoslovakia and Slovakia and, you know, all these in Latvia or Slovenia, like they're starting to come up as well. But
absolutely.
Yeah, I hope hockey takes off. You kind of hope it does and you kind of hope it doesn't, because you said you're a big Flyers fan. Just imagine, like, Flyers draft some guy and you want to collect him, and then all of a sudden he's the hot shit and he's so hard to get. But
yeah, that's true.
I guess it comes in, you know, after, then you'd be fine. Like if Gary V posts the Carter Hart, then you're in the money right there. You have 200, you sell 100 of them, and you'll still be happy. So you grew up, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I learned, like, because when I first got back in, I was like, I got to pick a player and I got to go with it. Like, I'm going to pick a player. And then when I go to card shows, because I would go to card shows and I'd be like lost. Like, who do I look for? What? And I didn't know enough about, you know, who was good and who was valuable and what valuable short prints. And I didn't even know what the hell a short print was at the time.
Right.
So I was like, I got to pick a player. That way, when I go to a card show, I can just say, hey, do you have any blah, blah, blah. So right. I picked Sixto Sanchez, right? He's the hottest.
Oh, man.
The hottest Phillies pitcher. You know, and I went all in on Sixto. I have probably one of the biggest Sixto collections. I really haven't shown it that much, and a little bit, you know, it was like a learning lesson. First of all, you don't collect pitchers. Second of all, the worst thing happened. He gets traded to the Miami Marlins, right? So now I'm sitting here loaded with a, you know, two row, all graded Sixto Sanchez, black labels, 10s, PSA 10s. Every card, every auto that he has, I bought. Every show I would go to, I'd buy anyone that I saw. And so I still have it. I'm like still holding out hope a little bit.
Well, he's so well. I mean, he started bust. Like people started buying him at 17. So
yeah,
what is he like 20 now or 21?
Yeah, and I'm still hopeful that he gets a call. But he's in a Phillies uniform on his card in his first Bowman, and you know he plays for Miami. But they're saying he's the next Pedro Martinez. I'm hopeful that you know
he's tiny though. That's the only thing. Like he's like my size. I think. Like I think he's like 5'9".
Is he that short?
I know he's short, so I'm like, I'm not short like in the relative world, but in the sports world, I'd be pretty damn short. So I was like, man, he's short for a pitcher. I know they like to get those lengthy guys, but I don't know if he could overcome that. I don't know how it you know plays out to like quarterbacks in the NFL size or how pitchers should be. But I always thought the taller the better when it comes to pitching, just because of the release angle.
So we'll see. It's kind of like a funny, like when you say inside joke, everybody is always busting on me now. Hey, there's a 6-0.
So. Oh, man. I mean, it's good that some baseball players, especially pitchers, man, they don't blow up till they're 25, 26 years old.
Yeah, so I'm just going to hang on to them. I'm not.
I mean, there's no – yeah, for sure. There's no reason to get rid of them now. And you strictly bought him for a PC investment?
Yeah, I bought him for a PC, and I just thought, hey, if this guy blows up, these cards are going to go crazy. You know, I have – everything from – I don't have a red, but I have everything above that, so.
Yeah, I was looking at your page earlier. Not you might be like I told people this in the intro that you're not loud. So you do have over 2,000 followers, but you're not loud. Like no one goes like, oh, yeah, did you see what Tony posts?
Yeah.
But your collection, people need to go to your page. You have some bangers on there, man. Like you, like it's like a hidden collection over there. And then I saw – you had like two boxes of 03-04 Topps Chrome basketball. Did you rip that?
No, I didn't rip it, dude. I still have it sitting in the safe in my room. It's
wow. That, yeah. I mean, that's amazing right there.
Yeah, that's cool. Actually, my brother owns one. So I'm like slowly trying to get my brother back into it. He buys into, you know, one time Ryan came out here. We had a customer. This is a funny story. We had a customer golf outing, and there was seven of us. And we needed one more person within like 2-day notice, and I'm like, who the hell can we get? Like, there's nobody. I'm like, I bet you Ryan would come. This is before he owned the shop, and he kind of had some free time on his hands. And I was like, I bet you I can call Ryan. He'd probably come out here. So I call him like, dude, you want to come out and this golf outing? And he's like, yeah. He's like, what do I gotta do? I was like, just go to I'll send you the ticket. Just come out go to the airport and I'll pick you up at the airport. So he did it. Like he didn't care at all. He did it. So he shows up and we started his group chat, and all our customers were, you know, like younger guys and cracking like major jokes. Like, who's this 614 number? Who the hell is this? So yeah. Ryan shows up, and you know him, he can talk shit with the best of them. So he shows up, and him and my brother kind of just like went back and forth because they were the worst two golfers out of the eight. and they went back and forth, and they became like pretty good buddies after that. And then my brother started buying into his breaks a little bit, like usually on some random time, you know, like nothing. And he's like, just send them to my brother. I don't even want them. Just send them to my brother.
Yeah, you kind of want him to cross over that hump.
Like, so anyway, we were in this card shop, and the guy had these boxes of 2003 Topps Chrome basketball. So like I normally do, I call Ryan. I'm like, hey, this guy has it. He's like, buy it. So I just listened to him. I buy it, and I bought one. So I went back a few weeks later with my brother, and I'm like, you still have those boxes? He's like, you know, I found another one. I have it in the back. And I told my brother, I'm like, dude, you got to buy that. Like, that's a good investment. And he's like, no, I'm not buying. I'm not spending that money. No way. I'm not doing it. No way. No way. And I like gave him this look. I'm like, dude, buy that fucking box now. Like, you have to.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, when he finally did it, he bought the box, and we walk out. And he's like, when you gave me that look, he's like, I knew I had to do it. Well, then we came out, and you know what we paid for them, they were already double on eBay. And I'm like, see, you got to listen to me, you know, once in a while. So anyway, so now we have the two box. I have both of them in the safe, and my brother has a number for his. He's like, if it gets to that number, I'm selling it, you know. And so we'll see. We're not gonna. I don't think we're gonna end up ripping them. I may one day just decide to rip mine, but
right. It's so hard. Yeah, I don't know how you can even know it's in there without opening it.
I know it's that's difficult.
Like that's I difficult. Haven't passed that mountain yet to where I can actually sit on a box. Like, the best thing for me when I was breaking is I knew I couldn't open it, you know?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Oh,
right.
People would, or bullpen would give me boxes to bring home, and I would sell them online. And those ones, you know, like, okay, I can't, those aren't mine, so I can't open them. Or if I was doing a break, I would have a case or two cases sitting there. I'm like, okay, you know, these breaks are for sale. I can't open those. But man, so many times have I purchased a box or even retail at Target and said, I'm just going to sit on these because a year later they go double, you know, 2 days or 3 days into it, I'm fucking opening them. Yeah. So I could only imagine with that year, I'd just be like a kid in a candy store opening those, you know, and my luck, I wouldn't get a LeBron or a Wade. I'd just be sitting there. Maybe Carmelo Anthony's in there too as well, right?
He is, yeah.
And the biggest problem with those cards is the centering, but most of them are in great condition coming out of there. And I guess the longer you let chrome sit, you just have to worry about them sticking together.
See, now you're trying to tell me to open this thing.
Well, I want you to open them live right now on the podcast.
No. I can't do that.
So the news broke just hours before we went live about Patrick Mahomes signing that contract. Did you get to see it?
Absolutely. 10 years. What a great deal.
Yeah, which actually becomes 12 because he still had 2 years. And that guaranteed month, just the injury guarantee is what, $140 million if he gets injured?
Wow.
But I mean, I think it ended up $503 million.
Unbelievable, which, dude.
Yeah.
What a great dude, though. I like to hear him talk. I think he talks great the way he talks. And I just think he's a good face for the NFL. Honestly, he's a good kid. He's likable. Yeah, exactly. But he's a likable dude. You know, he's a I don't know. I like him.
I could tell you how good he is for the NFL. He just beat my team in the Super Bowl, and yeah. I have no ill. I like him. You know, I like him.
Yeah.
Usually, if you beat my team, or especially if you beat my team in the Super Bowl, like I say, fuck that team, fuck that player, because I'm so biased. But Patrick Mahomes, man, if you don't like Patrick Mahomes, it's strictly to do with your team and his team are rivals. You know, like Lamar Jackson, like the Ravens probably hate him, or the Raiders probably hate him. But other than that, I don't see how you could hate the kid. You're right. He's definitely the face of the NFL for a long time to come. And I want to present something to you that I've been thinking about. About like Tom Brady and LeBron James, we've lived through this, like, or all this generation of people buying cards have lived through this time of Tom Brady and LeBron James playing the actual game as they are buying cards, right? So these cards gain value, they gain hype, you know, they win championships, the cards go higher. I want to know, like, what's going to happen to Tom Brady cards? Or even LeBron James cards. I can't name an athlete that has been retired that sells for a crazy amount of money.
Michael Jordan.
It doesn't, though. Like, it just recently went crazy.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, before that, they were manageable. They were a good amount, but they were manageable. Like,
I agree.
And they got hyped up because of the, you know, the Last Dance. But I want to know, like, Tom Brady. Let's put Tom Brady, for example. Say 5 years after Tom Brady's retired, do you think we're going to see, like, all the Mahomes cards start passing him? Because people get to see Mahomes week in and week out. He gets to throw 5 or 6 touchdowns in a game. He might win 3 or 4 Super Bowls. And his cards are going to go skyrocketing, while I think, you know, Tom Brady's going to start declining. And it's just something to keep an eye on, especially – and LeBron James as well, like, right now, I think LeBron James, basketball-wise, is the best investment for the long run. But I was starting to really think about it. I was like, man, what about when, you know, Zion Williamson's playing 10 years in and LeBron's been retired for 5 years and, you know, no one's talking about LeBron anymore. You know, are Zion rookie cards going to pass LeBron rookie cards and stuff like that? It's going to be interesting to see, because I haven't lived through – you know, a moment in card collecting at its hype right now to where a player has retired and his cards held value, like Joe Montana or Jerry Rice. Their cards don't go up every year.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I mean,
do you think that has anything or a lot to do with the rarity of the card too. I mean, because I feel like there's so many more cards now of these players that, I mean, you take a Mickey Mantle. Well, those cards, they always go up because there's a number of them that exist.
Exactly, and they're hard to find in good condition because those kids were sticking them in bicycle wheels
and laminating and stuff.
Right. But now we're in a grading era where everyone grades. So in 35 years, there's going to be 12,000 PSA 10s of a certain player, and you're like, oh, well, everyone kept good care of their cards. There's not, you know, I don't know the answer, but I'm wondering, like, oh, you know, Mantle and DiMaggio and Ruth and all these guys, there's so much because, yes, they were great, but their cards don't exist in great condition.
Right.
Even a Joe Montana PSA 10 doesn't exist. You know, it exists, but you don't see it much. Steve Young PSA 10 sold the other day for like $35,000. It's because there's only 12 of them in the world, PSA 10. But as we get further down, you know, in generations and generations and generations, or say three generations from now, there's going to be a pop 50,000 Patrick Mahomes PSA 10 rookie card. So what, you know, is that going to have an effect? It's interesting, you know, to think about it.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And then you get into the auto cards and the numbered cards and the parallels and the short prints and
which card's so going to make more. Which one is the hobby going to decide to make that card the card? You know, like it switches all the time. It's right now, like auto cards aren't even sought after. It's all about, you know, a prism silver non-autos like everyone's going for, or a low numbered, you know, gold or you know, red or blue, you know, prism cards. But it's fun to watch and scary to watch at the same time. If you're into long-term investing, like, you know, are you picking the right player?
It almost makes you question, like, is this a long-term game or is this a gambling game? Like, if I get the silver PSA 10, should I sell it now? Because it's probably going to go down, right?
And this is how I think. I always think, I've never been a guy that pulled a nice card and held on to it. And it's bit my ass sometimes, but guess what? I've come out on top more than I have not. Like, I always feel like the FOMO or the I got to have it now, I see it now, I need it now is going to bring the best price. And it's worked out for me. But some cards aren't like that. You know, you get rid of your Mahomes too early, or you never know when that next wave's going to come. But I believe in the short-term investment in this hobby, and this is just my opinion only. I think a card – best value is within, you know, that the year, you know, not the year, but the time it comes out to maybe a year or two after that. And then anything after that, you never know what's going to happen. Like everybody buying into NTRPAs or buying into NT breaks, looking for RPAs. If you look back in 2014 or 2015, there's maybe only one player from that whole set that even holds value anymore. You could pick up an RPA for $20 to $50. It's different with basketball.
It's crazy.
Basketball seems like anybody's RPA is at least $500, which is crazy. And some players that you've never even heard of are $1,000 because the basketball RPAs seem to do, you know, a crazy amount. And, you know, I search cards and I look at sales and I see like a, you know, let's say a Luka Doncic blue prism PSA 10 that sold for $8,000 or something. I'm like, is that card ever really going to be $8,000? Like, like other than now, like in 10 years, is that card going to be worth more than $8,000? I don't think so.
Yeah, I agree.
Or $100,000 for a Zion RPA.
It's almost like a gamble now. You're just, you're taking that gamble and you should probably sell it.
Yeah. You hit that in the break for sure. You sell that. But who's the guy buying it for $100,000 and what's his,
mindset? I don't know, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy.
I'm not a big, a high roller like that where I buy into breaks, but I don't buy like big time cards like that.
And it starts getting stressful. You know, you start getting like what you do is you buy into teams that you want and you have fun with it and you sell it or you don't sell it or you give it away. And that's where I think all the fun is. The more I try to get in this investment world of going to Target or Walmarts and hitting them all up and trying to find all the stuff and put them away. It gets so stressful. You're like, you know, you start freaking out. And I was like, man, this isn't even fun anymore. Like,
yeah, I agree with that. Like, I tried that. I tried to go to Walmart and a Target, and I ran around. And you know, my brother gets tired. I'm like, yeah, let's take a ride to Walmart. And he's like, yeah, they don't have the goddamn cards. We went there yesterday. You know, he's always like busting on me. But once in a while, you find them. And I stopped going on the daily to look for stuff because, yeah, you'll like this story. One day we go to Walmart, and the dude's there, like the rep or whatever, he's putting the cards out on the shelf. Well, here's the Coke guy, the guy that's stocking the Coke section. He's right behind him, and he grabbed the Coke guy, follows the card guy, and he buys all the damn cards.
Wow.
So no, of course, no one's ever going to get them. And you know, I think there's a shitty part of the hobby, I think, because if we wouldn't have happened to be there at that moment where the guy couldn't give them to this guy, like he had to let us grab them off the show. My brother and I were like, well, we're here. Like we're buying those cards. And the guy's like, oh, you know, the Coke guy played it off. Like, oh, I wasn't going to buy them anyway. I have enough. But
yeah.
I call bullshit on that. Like he was going to buy them. They were selling for double what you could buy them at Walmart.
Yeah, and it's a tough situation because you see it, and then you actually turn into that guy. The next time you see 10 sitting there, you buy them all.
No, of course.
It's great because I've said the same thing. These motherfuckers buying them all, then I see they just put them out. I'm like, oh, shit, I'm buying them all. And then you're like, why am I buying them all? Well, I'm buying them all because the next guy's going to buy them all, and I'm not going to get a fucking chance to buy them. But the only difference is exactly. I open them all up. You know, my theory is, these are selling for $50 a box. So what I'll do is I'll get all 10 and then I'll sell 5 of them. It'll pay for my 5. And then I end up going home, opening the first 5 going, man, I didn't hit anything great. I don't want to sell those anymore. You know, and then I'm into box 6 and then box 7. Then my wife's like, well, I guess you're not selling any now. Huh? And I'm like, nope, I'm opening them. You know, like, I mean,
yeah, my theory is if I get them at Walmart or Target, I'm over.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to. Okay, I could double your $18.
Big deal, right?
I'd rather just take the chance at it. Yeah. And, you know, see what you get.
I totally feel that. Like when not too long ago, my wife found, I think I want to say 14 boxes of Bowman, the mega boxes, the pink ones that just came out, and she brought them all home, and I opened them all up, and I was like, yeah, I ain't selling these. I ain't letting someone pull a Jason Dominguez, you know, auto or whatever. But yeah, it's so much more fun when you're opening it. It's like, it's gambling. You're right. It's the fun of what am I going to hit? And it's just more fun to do it for yourself than to take that and go, oh, I'll double my money and I'll open them for someone else. And they hit all the good stuff. It's happened to me before. It's happened to me with the Jason Tatum Prism rookie. It was like a number to 42, one of those pulsars, or 27, one of those weird numbers. But I opened it for, I grabbed some extra and I sold them, you know, for $10 more than what they were going for. And I pulled them a Jason Tatum. And I'm wondering what that card's doing now. Jesus Christ, that card's worth a lot of money.
Jeez.
I would have sold it by now anyways, but still.
Yeah. Yeah, I like opening. I like ripping stuff, and it's just so hard. I mean, there's not a lot of card shops around us, and
I think we're gonna start seeing some pop up.
I think so too. I've been out to Ryan's, and checked out his place. That's awesome. He had a trade night there one night. I got to pop in on that. That was pretty.
How
cool.
How far are you away from there?
Well, it's a flight.
Wow.
I mean, I could drive, but it's a flight. It's an hour and a half flight.
Wow, committed.
Made a weekend out of it. Yeah,
I know what that.
Actually, Ben Garnett was there too, and he stayed over at Ryan's too. We had a funny time because talk about polar opposites. You know, Ryan's like you said.
No shit.
Prim and proper.
I can't even see Ben, that mixture.
Ben made us laugh the whole time. He's one of the first guys that started following too on Instagram.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
When he was into his heat checks.
Oh yeah, we hated.
I remember.
Each other.
Oh,
yeah, me and Ben fucking wanted to rip each other's heads off because we were very similar.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, like it was funny. And then we met and we're the same type of like, you know, I'm not as open as he is by any means, but he's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
So you like said you guys were naked in the shower, and then what happened?
Exactly. And then Ryan came in.
Oh, yeah. Party's over, guys.
Speaking of characters, I know you gave, I heard on your podcast, you gave Kiss My Raz his name.
Yeah, right.
That's pretty awesome. I like Ed. He's a, sometimes like late at night, I'm laying in bed and I'm like, you know, looking at Instagram and he pops on live and I'm like, I got to watch this.
Oh yeah. You never know.
I sit there, watch it for an hour. Just laugh my ass off. I like Ed.
We were just talking today about him coming on the podcast and I told him about how I remember when he was Ravens 410 and he was running this dude. If you were around when, I mean, you were probably around back then, like late 2014, early 2015, when he was running these mega razzes. Like, he's the first one I've ever seen do like a 1,000-spot razz for a dollar for a $500 card. And people were just buying into it like crazy. And then they would take the buyback, of course, because it was a lot of money. But I remember a lot of people hated him, and he would always, he never gave a fuck what you thought. So.
No, I remember when I it was funny because I just got like on Instagram and I started following Kiss My Raz. I'm like, this guy's throwing pools. What the hell's a pool? Man. I still don't understand what the hell a pool is, but he was doing pools all the time. And I would go in there just to laugh because he was just funny.
He lost his ass doing pools.
So one time I was like, I made a comment in his live. And he's like, who the hell's this guy? Let me see how many followers he has. He's like, this son of a bitch has 200 followers and he follows 900. He's not, you know, he must be, you know, a new guy or something. He's like berating me. And I was like, oh my God. I was so embarrassed. From then on, I didn't make any comments. And then anyway, I ended up becoming kind of buddies with him. And I sent him some stuff, some PC stuff for him. And I bought some cards from him and now he's like, yo, Tojo, what's going on?
So yeah, we're cool. He's now on that like 50-50 list. People either fucking hate him or they love him. But
he just says it how it is. He doesn't give a shit about anybody or what anybody thinks. He does not.
He
care.
Doesn't. And he sent me, you know, a few PC cards over the years, so people don't see that side of him. And I've had it. People say before, like, how do you even like that guy? But I feel like. If you don't like him, he's going to come off different because he's going to treat you different. You know, he's going to give you I don't know. He's going to feed into your – he's one of those guys that if you hate – say if you hated the color green, he's going to put green on when you meet him. You know, he'll feed into your hate and quite the opposite. You know, if you like him, then he'll feed into whatever – you know, you're like, oh, man, you PC 49ers? Here's a bunch of 49ers cards or, you know. Stuff like that.
I think deep down, Ed's a good dude. He's a nice dude. And people just harass him, and he just doesn't take any shit. Like he doesn't. If you want to mess with him, then he's gonna give it back to you. But deep down, he's a good dude.
And that's the thing I like.
He's always been super nice to me.
I like about him. We don't always agree, and it never affects anything. Like he'll make a post, and I'll comment on there, and he'll like it anyways, and I'll say, well, this is fucking wrong, or. He'll do the same to me, and you know it never goes beyond that. It's a respect. Like if you don't like the, you know, comment of his, he doesn't. You know, it doesn't change his opinion of you. That's what I like the best about him. But
I know we're getting long. We're getting pretty long into this, and you probably want to kick me off. But I the one cool story that I have. Last one, I met some really awesome people on Instagram through cards. Like it's unbelievable. But one day we were at the Philly show. The Philly has a card show. We were there. And actually Ryan came down and he was staying here and we went to the show. And he introduced me to this dude named Ryan Coyne. And I was like, you know, he's like, I'm waiting for Ryan. I'm waiting for Ryan. I'm waiting for Ryan. We're waiting. This kid comes in. This guy comes. He's not a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And we started talking and they did a deal and Ryan bought a bunch of cards off of him. And I was like, what do you do, dude? And he's like, well, he's like, I work for Robert Irvine. You know, the chef.
Okay.
And I'm like, here I am, mushroom guy. Right. Like, yo, that, yeah, I, this, so we hit it off right away. And he works for the show Restaurant Impossible. And I was like, dude, I was like, if, you know, he's like, if it ever gets close, I'll let you know. If it ever gets close to Philly or anywhere, I'll let you know. And you'd be welcome to come to a show. So we went back and forth, and I had talked to him before in the Luft, because he's a Luft guy too, that he buys in the Luft personal breaks and stuff. And so anyway, he hits me up one day. He says, "Hey, Restaurant Impossible is coming down to Delaware. I know it's, you know, not that far from you. It's probably an hour drive. If you want to come, let me know. I'll put you on the guest list." So I was like, "Holy shit, that's cool." You know, so I asked my mom. I was like, "You want to go to the show?" Like, she's a big, you know, big fan of the Food Network and watching shows. So anyway, long story short, we go down to this small town in Delaware where Robert Irvine is doing a Restaurant Impossible, and we got to be on the show. We were like the first ones into the restaurant when it first reopened, and you know, all this because of cards, because of like knowing people through cards. It's, to me, it's one of the coolest things to,
it is,
you know, it goes beyond cards.
It's crazy.
Right?
You're right. I mean, the contacts, once you find out someone on the other side of their card collection, what they do in real life, it's unbelievable. Like the people, the friends you meet, the connections you make, it's crazy. Like, and I don't think a lot of people figure that out. Like, hey man, you should try to get to know the person that's on the other side of the screen name a little bit more, you know, ask them, you know, hey, what, you know, meet up with them, meet them somewhere, you know, develop. That's how Dom and I, you know, like I said in the beginning, Dom and I just, I don't know, even know how we met, but we met on Instagram and we hit it off. We're like, why do we hit it off so well? And we both found out, you know, the military, and I flew out to his house and he flew out to mine. And that happens with, I mean, even with you, you know, like now I talk to you almost every day and I've done some designs for you and your company. And then it's just, it's like that. There's so many people out there that you wouldn't be friends with in the real world, and then there's so many people that you would be friends, you just don't have the location to meet that person, you know, other than you did on Instagram and behind a username. So I encourage more people to, like, if you really hit it off with someone on Instagram, you know, try to get to know them more. And I'm sure there are plenty of stories of lifelong friends that people meet on Instagram, and that's why I've always liked Instagram. Like when everybody was pumping Facebook, I have a love hate for Facebook, probably 90% hate, because people used to, yeah, you know, they like to make fun of Instagram or say it's a bunch of kids that, you know, scam people. But I think it's the opposite. That Instagram, to me, I've just had way better experiences on Instagram, and Facebook, it's just, to me, it's a bunch of whiny fucking adults that scam. So what's the difference, you know? At least the kids have an excuse. They're kids.
Yeah, that's cool. No, I met some like some dudes that I'm like, wow, that guy is, I mean, this, do you ever meet JD Baseball Cards, Dan?
Why does that sound so familiar?
He's from New York, and he, JD. I met him at the Philly show, and I think we met at the casino, to be honest with you. And oh, dude, you want to talk about a great guy. And then we met. So then you meet these guys wherever you meet them, and you're like, hey, I'm going to be in Chicago at the National, and you meet up there. And there's so many, so many cool people. But that Dan, he is one of the funniest dudes I ever met. And he sends me a DM every once in a while. Hey, how's it going? How's the family? Like, everything good? You know, what's good? He sent me a Flyers jersey, a personalized Flyers jersey with Tojo on the back.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that
cool.
Name sounds so familiar. I think I did meet him. And
if you met him, you would remember. He's a big dude, super funny. Like, almost every word that comes out of his mouth makes you laugh. One of the cool dudes that I met.
Yeah. I think I had to meet him, cause it sounds so familiar. But yeah, it's so hard when you get back from like a National or something, you're trying to remember everyone you met, and you remember the faces, but you're like, oh man, I don't know. I'm trying to put my Instagram. And it's the same when you meet there, you're like, oh, you're so-and-so. Wow. You know?
Oh, dude, you don't even want to know what I thought when I met you. I'm like, that's not Bernie.
Did you think I was Mexican?
I to be honest with you,
a lot of people
you
think
had a little bit of an
I don't know why,
a little bit of an accent, dude.
I don't know why people that would,
I'm like,
not,
that's not Bernie.
That would not be the first time I've heard that, and it doesn't make any sense to me, because I think I sound as white as can be, but several people have told me that they thought I was Mexican, and I don't.
Well, I used to like chime or, you know, watch in when you were breaking at bullpen. And I always thought, like, this guy's fucking cool. Like, he talks, you know, and I bought a couple things from you during that time. Yeah. And you were always, like, super nice. To me, like, if somebody's super nice, then I'm like, all right, I like that guy, you know. So.
I always try to be nice to everyone, and I'm also, like, a smart ass, and that's why I say don't get offended if, you know, I like that.
Yeah, I love
that. I like that fun and, that's and funny be a smart
stuff.
Ass. Yeah.
That's funny
but
stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a Mexican town and had Mexican friends, so maybe it rubbed off on me, but I still can't, you know, when I hear no way now, you know, that sounds like a Mexican to me, and but I've heard that before. Cool. So what did you picture me like?
I don't even know, dude. I guess when I saw you, I was like, you had the full beard, and I was like, that is not what I, because, you know, you, I think that's natural, right? That's natural instinct is when you hear somebody's
voice, yeah, you picture them some, you know, other way.
You're trying, like, create something in your mind, like, this is what they look like, and when they come out, like, not even close, you're just like, whoa. I remember telling Ryan, like, that's Bernie. He's like, yeah, that's Bernie.
And you're like, damn, he's and got I was a like, fucking what? Dick on him.
Yeah. that dude's last name is Hammer. He must have a
hammer. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, same thing when I saw you. I always thought you were like a short Filipino lady, but when I saw you I kid. But yeah, I mean, I feel like we could have stories for days, so we're gonna have to chop it off here soon.
No, that's good, buddy. I appreciate you. I like I told you when you asked me, I was like, dude, there's so many more people that you could be interviewing than me. But I'm honored to be a guest on your podcast. And, you know, best of luck to you and Dom. I think you guys are awesome together. It's hilarious, and I really enjoy listening to it. And
well, I'm glad.
I hope you guys keep doing
it. Thanks, man. Yeah, I don't know how long, you know, until we get tired of doing it, we'll do it. But it's just kind of spur of the moment type deals, you know, like today was you and tomorrow could be someone else, or I might not do anybody else the rest of the week, but that's what Dom and I do. And we just like to talk about it. And sometimes I'm in a bad mood and you'll hear the stuff I don't like. And today I'm in a good mood, so I'm real positive. And I just want to, that's what I want to do. Like, I feel like you said, you know, oh, I got better people to interview, but I don't see it that way. Like, I want people to hear guys that they might not know about them because you're not a kiss my razz type person where you're out there and they either love you or hate you. I think a lot of people, you know, you're quiet. So it's the quiet guys that get, you know, kind of overlooked. And I want people to see the side of you that, you know, I've learned over the last few months or whatever, or since I met you at the National, and respect your page. Like, and your cards you have are amazing. Like some of the stuff on there is just fucking badass. And now people know who to go to get free stuff from, because they'll just hit you up and you might send them a free card. Oh, you trust me, you'll get those DMs now, like, oh man, this is a great card, you know, I, you know, my brother has cancer and, you know, I can't afford a card like that. But
yeah, that's cool. You know, I forgot to mention, and I won't drag it on, but when I went to Ryan's wedding, I got to meet Jimmy Kentucky Basketball Cards.
That's hilarious how he gets brought up after that.
Yeah, so, and he's one of those dudes that I think people ask him all the time, and he is literally one of the nicest people, not in cards, one of the nicest people I ever met. And
I mean, he seems,
you know,
that
we went back and forth, and yeah, he's a super cool dude, and that's what it reminds me. Again, he kept saying, like, you remind me of me, and I said, you remind me of me, because I just give shit away. Like, I don't know how to sell anything. I just give it away.
Yeah, but then the guys who ruin it are the guys that show. If you ever, I would just show up in his chat just to watch the guys in there sucking him off.
Oh, just begging for stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, that was pretty cool to meet Jimmy, because he's an icon of the industry.
He is.
And
super good dude, super nice guy, works with kids, has a fucking collection to die for, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. You know, and this is the last thing I'll say, but I travel a lot for work, you know, visiting customers, and a lot of our customers are down in the Carolinas, and whenever I travel, I try to go to a card shop, and people that are with me, they're like, oh, we got to take him to the card shop. I'm like, look, just drop me off for a half hour and then pick me up.
Right.
So I was in Greensboro, North Carolina, and there's this, and I, as soon as we land at the airport, I look up, was there any card shops? So I find this card shop, and I was like, just drop me off over here for a half hour. And then they go and like check the grocery stores and look at the mushrooms and everything while I'm in the card shop. And so I was sitting there and I'm buying like, you know, five or six boxes, stuff that I could rip at the hotel that night when we get done with our meetings. And so I'm like in this store and I'm buying like, I don't know, five or six different boxes of stuff. And the owner, he's like, do you happen to know Jimmy Mahan? And I was like, actually, I did meet Jimmy before. He's like, you kind of remind me of him.
Oh, God.
He's like, because he would come in and he would just buy out the entire store when he comes in. So anyway, that was funny.
And what a small world, right?
Very small world.
Cool, man. Well, I hope people play a drinking game to this, to how many times they could drink every time you said Ryan.
Oh, geez.
Because
that's my buddy.
I know, but then there was another Ryan, and my Ryan counter.
Oh, Ryan. Yeah, Ryan Coyne.
So my Ryan counter is up to 83.
Nice.
No, I'm joking. But anyways. all right, man. Well, it was nice of you to call in. Appreciate talking to you. Appreciate our conversations we had lately. Appreciate the design business you gave me. Appreciate the box of mushrooms you sent me. This guy sent me a huge box of mushrooms to feed a village, and we were in mushroom heaven for, you know, for a while there. Cause
I'll set. I got another one coming out to you soon.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, man. Well, follow him.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Bern.
No problem. It's Tojo Sports Cars 36, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Give him a follow and, yeah, don't ask for any free things either, because the timing will.
You might get it. You might end up getting it.
Yeah. All right, man. It was nice talking to you. I'll see you later, Tony.
All right, Bernie. Thanks, buddy. Take care.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.